From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in. And joining me is Adam Brewerton. He is a wildlife conservation biologist with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. And he's here to talk about a concerning disease that's affecting songbirds in both the Pacific Northwest and now beginning to show up a little bit in northern Utah. Adam, thanks so much for joining me on This Green Earth.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so let's start here. What is this disease?
Yeah, so this particular disease we're talking about, Salmonella. So it's caused by a bacteria that can get contaminated in bird seed by coming into contact with contaminated feces, and then another bird will eat it up.
Okay, so Salmonella, that's the same type of Salmonella that affects us?
Yeah, there's different strains of it, but yes, it's essentially within the same family.
Okay, and where, am I right that it's kind of started initially in states in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, that's correct. So you know, one thing I do want to point out is that, you know, it's not a new disease that's starting up. This is just an outbreak of cases coming in at a rate higher than normal. Every year, we'll see cases of Salmonella affecting songbirds, especially around bird feeders. The thing that's unique about this is that it's just a higher rate of these cases. And yes, this outbreak started with Washington and Oregon starting to see higher numbers of cases in pine siskin and house finches. And they started recommending people just completely take down their feeders based off of what they were seeing. Idaho started seeing some elevated cases. And then a couple of weeks ago, we got word from one of the wildlife rehabilitators that they were also seeing higher than normal cases of Salmonella.
All right, so how does this disease express itself? If I'm looking at my backyard feeder and the birds, what am I observing?
Yeah, the first thing you're going to notice is you're going to notice that the birds are being very lethargic. So you'll see one or two, maybe a few more birds that will kind of just hang out on the ground underneath the feeder. They'll hop around a little bit. They'll look like they're trying to eat, but they sort of run out of energy before they can even crack a seed open and try and eat it. You'll see them often, they'll kind of hunch over and ruffle up their feathers because essentially they're starting to get really skinny. And so they're kind of like trying to make themselves look a little bit bigger. They're trying to conserve their warmth that they have. And they overall just kind of look sick and uncomfortable. But those are the things that you'll notice most is that they'll be very, very lethargic. They'll have ruffled feathers. Sometimes you'll see some deformities around the face and the eyes of, you know, something starting to grow a little bit. But yeah, that's what you'll notice. And then if you were to try and catch one, it might be able to hop or fly away a short distance, but it's not going to just fly away and leave your yard.
Well, that's a good point. Should I be trying to catch one? Or should I just, unfortunately, just you have to leave it alone?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, most of the time it's kind of recommended just to leave it alone. If you've got a couple of sick birds that are, you know, more than four, five, six, or whatever, that's enough birds that we could potentially take some of those to get tested to help us better track the disease. But yeah, for the most part, you probably just leave it. If you do have a bird that's really not going anywhere, you might want to, you know, get it, give us a call. We can get it out. That way a cat or something, dog isn't going to.
Oh, well, that's another good point. Obviously, a sick bird is a slower-moving bird and a bird that's more vulnerable to to predators like cats. So then are cats susceptible to contracting the disease if they, indeed catch and consume a bird?
Yeah, so, like I was saying, there's different strains of Salmonella. The Salmonella can be a little bit more specific to some types of animals than to others, but really any animal, including humans, can can be infected with salmonella. So it is something that you want to make sure that you keep pets away from any birds that are in your yard, or if you do find some dead ones, to make sure that, you know, you wear gloves, use plastic bags to pick them up and to clean the feeders and to clean the areas around the feeders.
Oh, okay. So now let's turn to that, because feeders can be a source of the spread of the disease, correct?
Right. So the feeder itself is really acting more like just a place that's going to pull in a concentration of wild birds, and there's going to just be more birds interacting with each other, more opportunity for an infected bird to defecate and have that come into contact with food that another bird is going to ingest. So it's definitely a focal point where a lot of these transmissions can occur. And honestly, that's really true of any time that we're feeding wildlife in any type of scenarios. In fact, there's a lot of times that feeding wildlife is not recommended at all because there's very little benefit out of it. And then the risks of concentrating animals that make them more vulnerable to disease transmissions or more vulnerable to predation and things like that just don't outweigh the benefits of feeding. And with backyard bird feeders, it's always a recommendation that we have to clean them regularly. Regularly usually means once a month, maybe once a season, to keep, you know, those bird feeders clean, hygienic, not contaminated. The difference now is that with this higher rate of cases, we're recommending that people be cleaning feeders at least weekly.
Okay, and let's talk about that then. Cleaning, okay. Is that just a matter of just wiping it down with a rag and water, or can I use some form of disinfectant?
Yeah, so specifically for concerns about salmonella, the recommendation is to clean with a 10% bleach solution in water. So one part bleach, 9 parts water. Clean it, you know, the most efficient way possible. Often that's dump out all the feed and then just immerse the bird feeder into that cleaning solution, or spray it, wipe it down. But then the trick is to let it dry for at least 30 minutes to allow that bleach solution to disinfect the feeder itself before you refill it and put it back out.
Okay, and the press release talked about wet seed being a little more, not infectious per se, but you want to keep your seed as dry as possible.
Right, and, you know, one of the ways I like to maybe kind of explain that point is, you know, it's just like food safety handling that we're used to if, you know, when we're handling our own food. If we've got food that's sitting in something that's wet and either, you know, just exposed out in the sun, that, you know, can be a breeding ground for disease. So make sure that bird seed stays dry, making sure it stays, you know, protected from the elements so that it doesn't create that humidity and moisture that bacteria can grow in. Different styles of bird feeders can be more susceptible to it than other styles.
Okay. And then I'm assuming that you should probably periodically sort of clean up the fallen seed that's come off the feeder, but beneath the feeder, because the disease, the bacteria can be down there on the ground too.
Yeah, that's right. And that's usually one of the places that most, you know, people would say forget or neglect, that, you know, where this seed is being kicked out of the bird feeder and falling on the ground, that the whole area underneath the bird feeder kind of acts as a feeding area in itself, because there's a lot of seed that's spilled and on the ground. That's also where, you know, most of the birds are going to be defecating, is going to be falling to the ground. So making sure that sweeping up or raking up the area around kind of remove as much of the seed husks and as much of the seed from underneath the feeders as possible.
All right, let me reintroduce you. We're speaking with Adam Brewerton. He's a wildlife conservation biologist with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. And we're talking about a press release that came from the DWR last week about bird salmonella outbreak. and it's impacting primarily songbirds, as you say, Adam, birds like pine siskins, goldfinches, caissons finches, etc. I've got sparrows and forms of sparrows and house finches and chickadees and juncos, and I'm assuming those are also at risk.
Yeah, really, you know, kind of the same point when we were talking about pets. Really, any animal can be susceptible to the risk of catching the disease. However, it's by far mostly birds within the family of finches, so the pine siskins and the Cassin's finches and the
right.
house finches, like you were saying.
But maybe a magpie?
maybe a magpie. I mean, magpies typically aren't eating from a seed feeder. But definitely doves, definitely, you know.
Anything.
Anything that is going to come into your feeder and eat bird seed.
And again, the my neighbor's cat that bugs my birds to no end, that cat is also at risk if it consumes a bird or otherwise is at risk of being exposed to this disease. So there's my little public service announcement / rant about people who let their cats out and roam around freely, off leash, and otherwise they're out hunting, etc. They are at risk of catching this salmonellosis. So, sorry, Adam. I just as a birder, I just don't understand why people let their cats roam free around neighborhoods around our town and not think that there's a biological impact, ecosystem impact associated with that. But that's another story. So
yeah, that's another story. But you know, I will just kind of reiterate what you said. It's as much for the safety of their own cat as well. But
yes,
being able to monitor what the cat is potentially ingesting.
Right. Okay. So when does this kind of, you say this is not uncommon that this salmonella outbreak occurs. This one seems to be a little more robust than normal. Does it have a seasonal end associated with it?
Salmonella can be present really anytime, and the bacteria itself can kind of persist for years in the environment. So it's definitely not seasonal or uncommon in that sense. The outbreak level of this elevated number of cases certainly is. And typically here in Utah, we don't necessarily see it this time of year. Although we do start to see it as spring comes in and everything starts to get wet as things are melting and things are warming up. You know, I don't know if I really have anything to say. You know, this is why, but it could be the, you know, unseasonably warm spring
right.
starting to creep up early that we're having.
Right. I hear you. And of course, I mean, most of us take our feeders down late spring, you know, because the birds have their more of abundance of natural source of food available to them so late spring through the summer and fall, et cetera. So this is kind of right. a feeder-based phenomena. And okay, we got to wrap up. Where can people mm-hmm. go? Well, let's do this. If they see birds that are ill or otherwise, obviously this is fatal, so there can be dead birds. They may want to take photos of it and submit it to you or some website. Is that possible?
If you're seeing a larger number of birds being affected, and by larger number, I'm talking about, you know, more than just five over the period of a couple of days. If you're seeing a few birds, like one or two one day, a few days later you see another one, or even spread out over a couple of weeks, that's not quite as helpful. But if you get a larger concentration, you know, four, five, six birds in it over just a few days, maybe over just a week, give us a call. Us being the Division of Wildlife Resources, you can find the contact information for the nearest regional office through the website wildlife.utah.gov.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.